What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today as the Dubs took a beatdown from the Clippers last night. Probably should have seen it coming. I'm going to tell you why it happened, some of the things they can do to fix some of their problems. And the game wasn't without a couple of bright spots. I'm going to point those out as well. Coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, and the Warriors opened up the 2019-20 season and the Chase Center with a 19-point loss to the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, it was ugly. They were down 30-something at one point. No one really was that great. It was bad. It was really bad. I don't know why I'm trying to find a good way to talk about it. It was bad, but at the same time, this is the new reality for the Warriors. Steve Kerr talked about that, but what I mean by that is the Warriors are no longer the best team in the league, and they played the best team in the league last night. To me, Clippers are hands down best team in the league, best defensive team in the league, and the front runners for the NBA championship. The Warriors aren't that. The Warriors are at best a lower seed in the Western Conference, if that. And I think we all kind of knew that coming in, at least the realistic ones did, especially for tonight, especially for the first game against the Clippers. If you remember during the preseason, the one good game they had was against the T-Wolves. The T-Wolves and the Warriors match up as far as talent and role players, etc. Those are the games that the Warriors are going to look good in. They're going to struggle against the great teams, and the Clippers are absolutely a great team. Warriors got off to an incredibly slow start. I think they were down 11-0. And during that time, Draymond Green gets injured. Patrick Beverley runs into him hard on a screen, and I think it's a forearm contusion or something like that, where, you know, he said it still hurt after the game. It was really sore. D'Angelo Russell had a nice stretch in that first quarter. We dropped in 10 straight, but he struggled the rest of the night. So did Steph. It was just a bad game overall. There was times where, you know, they were hustling and playing hard, but it wasn't for 48 minutes, and that's what they're going to need. That's exactly what they're going to need, and they just didn't have that. It's pretty funny. Jordan Poole struggled. He was 2 of 13, 1 of 7 from the field, but he was getting shots up. But oddly enough, he led the team in plus-minus. And I also saw some people point out, by the way, Jordan Poole was plus 10 and plus-minus. But I also saw some people point out D'Angelo Russell, rough game, 6 of 16, 4 of 8 from the field. He did have 8 assists, 20 points, but he was a minus 35. And that's really bad. But I see that no one is pointing out that Draymond was a minus 35. There are people out there that don't like D'Angelo Russell. I don't want to say want him to fail, but don't like the move, I guess, and are pretty quick to point out his struggles. But, you know, if you're going by plus minus, which I saw people do, Draymond was minus 35 as well. And I thought Draymond had a solid game for Draymond. He had 11 points, 3 of 6 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. You know, you'd like the rebounds and assists to be up a little higher because that's what his game really is. But as far as scoring goes, 11 points on 50% from the field, you'll take from Draymond for sure. But again, it was just a bad night overall. And the second unit struggled a ton. And that's the one with D'Angelo Russell and Draymond to start the second. Fouling too much, terrible defense. The Warriors have a lack of size that, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein will help, but I don't know if he's the 100% answer to fix that problem, but he will definitely help. Looney played well, but one of those another problem from last night was that he had to come out at halftime with hamstring tightness. It felt a little weird that he was going to play last night, but he played well in his minutes. Like, it felt soon, a little too soon. But again, I trust the Warriors training staff to make the decisions. He was 1 of 4 from the field and 1 of 1 from three, which was pretty righteous. Corner three loon. If that's a part of his game, if that's like a real part of his game moving forward, that's a big addition. And in his 10 minutes, he had 9 rebounds, 5 of them offensive. So he's a big part of this team, and you could really tell how different it was when he was out. Just how much the guys struggled without Kevon Looney out there. Steph, like I said, he struggled, but part of that is just the way the defense was playing him. I mean, look, the Clippers are probably the best defensive team in the league, and they also played defense on Steph as if it was the finals, where they were face guarding him the whole time and sending two at him the whole time. I doubt teams will do as much as the Clips did, but I mean, who knows? If it's effective, why not? Steph did get good looks or did find a shot, man, he had to work incredibly hard to get them. You know, that's the thing. It's not that Steph can't put up numbers and can't, you know, be efficient and get buckets. It's that it's going to be just a lot harder to do so than it has been in the past. Klay was there. He was on the sidelines. It was just a funny note. He was wearing a suit and just, he just looked like one of the coaches. It was funny. You know, like Steph would drive in for a layup and get a fist pump from Klay, and it just looked like one of the coaches. I thought it was funny. Maybe no one else did, but that's just me. The Dubs were down 11 to start the third. It was 65-54, which, you know, no moral victories, but look, that's, you know, 11 is within reach, and they had it down to 7 with a couple minutes left, and, you know, the Clippers were able to pull away a little bit. Marquese Chriss started the third quarter. I mentioned that because Kevon Looney had to come out with hamstring tightness. The Warriors started incredibly slow. The Clippers did not. They put up 3 straight threes and were up 18, and then the thing was just out of reach. It was gone. It was all gone. There was nothing else the Warriors could do. I felt like they might have shot too many threes, but maybe that's going to be their identity this year. They shot 42 threes, made 15 of them for 35%, while the Clippers shot 32 threes, made 18 of them for 56%. That's not good, you guys. Clippers shot 50 of 80 for 62% from the field, 56% from three, and 76% from the line. Too many fouls, too much bad defense, just a lot of bad things from last night. I almost want to say just throw the tape away because the Clippers at 3:55 left in the third had already scored 104 points and were up by 31. So it wasn't a game, but I also want to slow some people down from the fact that they were playing the best team in the league, and the Warriors are not in that category of teams anymore. The Warriors are a bottom three seed in the West at best. The Warriors are not the best team in the league anymore. And it's not just Durant, it's all the other things. They're the third youngest team in the league, and young teams don't defend well. They also have their just own struggles. I mean, there were some young moments out there for the guys. Besides Steph, Klay, and Draymond, everyone is 26 or younger. Well, I think Alec Burks is up there with I think Alec Burks is 28, but everyone else is 26 and younger. And even then, 9 of the 17 guys, including the two-way players, are 23 or younger. So there's a lot of youth, and youth does not defend well. So last night was tough, but look, they play OKC on Sunday, the Pelicans on Monday, and then the Suns on Wednesday. Those should be much better matchups for the Warriors. And like I said, I don't want to overreact to this one game, but at the same time, they're going to have to play a lot better against these teams that they match up better with. but they're still going to have to play better. I mean, that's the thing. They're still going to have to play better because they did not play well against the Clippers. But they do match up better with these next three teams, the Thunder, Pelican, and Suns. So we'll see. We'll see. But let's just toss this one opening night. We'll flush it. We're done with it. Don't see the Clippers again until January. And that's a good thing because I think the Clippers are the best team in the league. Draymond said there are no moral victories, which I do agree with. But at the same time, with this year being all about development, there were a couple of bright spots. And I'm going to talk about those in just 1 minute. Last night, Draymond Green spoke with the media after the game, and he wasn't in the mood for moral victories or anything. All he cares about is getting better. He did mention that the defense was atrocious, and he also mentioned he's not into moral victories.
I'm not a moral victory type of guy. I'm not leaving this game looking for something to build off on. We f***ing sucked, and we got to get better.
Now, for Draymond Green and all the players, I understand that the only thing that matters is winning and trying to get to the playoffs and win another championship. But I am not one of the players. I'm not in the locker room. And I can look at it as this year is about development. I mean, if they can make the playoffs while developing, that's great. They need to. But at the same time, this is about developing players to have cheap role players when you're able to build around Steph, Clay, D'Angelo Russell, Draymond a little better next year once the hard cap restriction is lifted. And again, I'm not looking towards next year or anything. Obviously, it's still all about this year, and they still have chance to be a playoff team. They just ran into the best team in the league last night. But I can look at moral victories. I can look at bright spots, and there were a couple. One of them that jumped off the page immediately was Jacob Evans. Jacob Evans hit four threes his rookie year, his entire rookie year with the Warriors. Now, again, he didn't play a lot, but still, four threes in an entire season is not great. Last night, he had 14 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. That's a great night from Jacob Evans, especially considering what we'd seen beforehand, and considering that the Warriors have to make a decision on his third-year option, which I think is pretty, I mean, even before last night, I thought was pretty obvious to get picked up, but his shot is way more confident. He's way more confident in his shot. His shot looks a whole lot better, obviously, because they're going in, but also it's just there's less of a hitch to it. It's way, way more smooth, way more natural. And defensively, he was okay. He was fine, you know, not going to be first-team NBA defense or anything this year, but he is a solid defender. So that right there is a huge development because they're also trying to play him as the backup point, which he did fine at. But the fact that he's able to knock down shots is huge. He was also good in transition. I like his game, especially if the three ball is going to keep falling. He's got a chance to be a real rotation player for this team for the next however many years to come. The other one I wanted to talk about, well, there were two more. But the main one was Eric Paschal. Played 31 minutes. The rookie second rounder played 31 minutes last night. And on this team, I can't say he didn't deserve to play all 31 minutes. He went 6 of 13 from the floor. Had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and only 1 turnover. Which wasn't bad for the Warriors last night because, you know, there were a lot of other turnovers coming from one guy, Steph. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Eric Paschal was another bright spot where that's what the Warriors are looking for, man. Look, they have 9 guys 23 years or younger. If they come out of this year with 3, maybe even 4 role players going into next season out of that group of 23-year-olds, I'd be happy with it. They'll be incredibly happy with it. And they'll have a young rotational core, basically. But Eric Paschal, I mean, his size, his athletic ability, and his defense. He's a guy who got minutes on Kawhi, got minutes defending, you know, one of the best players in the game, and held his own. I mean, look, Kawhi's going to get his no matter what. But Jacob Evans, Eric Paschal, both defended him pretty well. And then there was a third one who defended him pretty well, and that was Glenn Robinson. Now, the offense wasn't great. 5 of 10 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. You want him to knock down more threes because that's kind of going to be his role, is to hit corner threes. But he was at least willing. He's big. He's 6'6", about 220. And he did a respectable job against Kawhi as well. That's the other thing. Like, don't get it twisted, you guys. I'm not saying anyone shut down Kawhi. Kawhi went off and is one of the best players in the game. And even if you play perfect defense against him, he's still going to knock down shots. And some of the good defense against him led to him getting 9 assists as well, which ties his career high, which is also kind of crazy that that's only his career high. But anyways, I thought those three were bright spots in this game that was a very dark spot overall. And everyone else was kind of not great. And that includes Steph and D'Angelo. It includes everyone. Steph had 8 turnovers last night. That's another thing that can't happen. The main thing, and I don't think I mentioned this in the first segment, so first off, let me get the good stuff out there. Eric Paschal, Jacob Evans, and Glenn Robinson, I thought were bright spots, and if they can build upon this and continue this throughout the year, that would be great. The main thing with the Warriors, to break it down as simply as possible, you're not going to win a lot of games that Steph doesn't play well in. You're going to win even less games that Steph and D'Angelo don't play well in. But when Steph, D'Angelo, and Draymond all have bad games, you're going to win maybe 4% of those games. 4% is a very scientific number I came up with. All I'm saying is it is so massively on the shoulders of Steph and D'Angelo and Draymond to an extent that if they have bad games, that the Warriors just don't have much of a chance to win. And that's basically what happened last night. They all played bad, and they also played the best team in the league. So, again, for the second time in this podcast, we're going to flush this one, never talk about it again, and move on to the Thunder on Sunday. Klay Thompson was around. I loved seeing Klay. It's great to have him around. He's just a funny guy to be around and have with the team, looking like a coach. But he also sat with Charles Barkley last night, and Chuck didn't hold back, and Klay's too polite to clap back, as the youth are saying. Going to talk about that in just a minute. Klay Thompson was at Chase Center last night. He did the intros. He, you know, gave a nice little pregame speech. He was wearing a suit, looked like he was one of the coaches. It was all fun, kind of funny too. And he also sat with Chuck, Kenny, Candace, and Ernie at halftime. And Klay gave the very, you know, Klay interview, yeah, we'll be fine, blah, blah, blah. I think our championship window's open for another 5 or 6 years. And Chuck said, it's closed. It's closed, you don't have enough offense. And one of the things that I, first off, it's half a game against the Clippers, best team in the league, but maybe this year it's closed. Does Chuck not realize they can make adjustments next year or anything like that? And Klay's too nice to say anything. He's like, you know, Chuck's entitled to his opinion. But here's my question. What does Charles Barkley know about winning championships? See, that's why I missed Shaq last night, who, you know, sadly is dealing with a loss in the family. And shout out Shaq. Never met him, but he's hilarious. Love him. Hate anyone going through pain like that. So it was tough not having Shaq there, because Shaq would have shut down Charles Barkley immediately and said, what do you know about winning championships? You don't know nothing about getting no rings. But Klay's too polite. Klay just sat there and smiled through it. But that's the thing, is this year the championship window might be closed, but there's enough on this team to build on moving forward that I have no doubt in my mind that they can get back to a championship level team next year, the next 2 years, what have you, because the talent's there. And then once the hard cap is lifted, they're going to have the ability to build around this team better. Now, the Dubs do take on the Thunder on Sunday. I won't be talking to you till after that game. So just a quick preview of that one. The Warriors match up a whole lot better against the Thunder than they did the Clippers, but do not take the Thunder lightly. They, even with trading Westbrook and Paul George, still have a solid team. I mean, they're starting Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Terrence Ferguson, Danilo Gallinari, and Steven Adams. That's a good squad right there. I mean, that's Chris Paul. We can all clown him and whatnot, but he's still got game. Shai Gilgeous, one of the best young players. Terrence Ferguson came on last year. Gallinari still got game. And Steven Adams is a beast who the Warriors don't have the size to match up with. Their bench, that's where it gets a little weak, but the Warriors' bench is also nothing to write home about. So it should be a good matchup. We should see the Warriors play a lot better, probably get the win, but it is a 12:30 game on Sunday, so you know, we'll see. We'll see. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back with you on Monday for another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.